Welcome to the podcast that's all about solutions. If you get that the coercive state is the problem, but you're tired of complaining about it, this is the place for you. Join us as we ask, what then must we do? I am thrilled to have back on the show again, Susan May. Susan is the creator of Rise Up with Susan May, which we'll talk about a little bit later on. You've pulled back a little bit from that, though, and are kind of taking things a little more slowly. The reason, though, that you're here today is to talk about the upcoming celebration, which I'm sure everybody is prepared for. I've got my t-shirt. You've got your t-shirt. I hope mine's not backwards the way it looks to me, but Susan, you're still alive.
I'm still alive.
How did this happen?
Later, I don't know. I just kept doing what I've always done, and I'm still alive.
It's incredible. It's an incredible story of perseverance, survival, grit. Really, it's inspiring. Why don't you tell us, for listeners who are not familiar with Susan Still Alive, I can't imagine who they might be, but for anyone who's not familiar, maybe you could give us some background how this all started.
Yeah, so it was 2021, so it's been 2 years now, and I was still, you know, kind of, I had started Rise Up with Susan May, so I was still like kind of in the mentality of like really reaching out to medical freedom advocates and in that world. I had slowed down on like my research and my posting, but every once in a while I would be like, hey, look at this. So I had done a post, and right now I don't even remember. I think it was, you know, about something at the time, 2021, you can imagine. It got some likes and some shares. And sometimes I feel more, I don't know if you feel the same way, but like when someone shares my stuff and then there's comments, I feel like more I want to engage with the people commenting on it because it's something I wrote. And so I got in a little bit of a back and forth with someone about, you know, it was vaccine rates or something like that. And he basically said, well, what did he say? We'll see how things pan out in the next year if you're still alive to crow about it. And it was just like incredible to me. I was talking to my daughter today, like, who sent, or my mom, who talked to someone like a stranger online like that? Like, how do you like think it's okay to say like, well, if you're still alive? And so we just kind of went back and forth. And I said, oh, sure, let's check back in a year. And so last year, I actually did not check in directly with him. It didn't feel right to me as far as I didn't want to drag up more negativity and get into a negative tussle. But so we turned it into a positive thing. And Brittany helped me run with it. We just got so into it and we made all these different ways to celebrate Susan Still Alive. And so this is our second year of fully celebrating. It's the third time because the first year we were just joking about it with me and my family. And I happened to be making banana pancakes that day. So I said, every year, celebrate on August 22nd, Susan's Still Alive, banana pancakes and breakfast potatoes. And so that's how it was born 2 years ago.
And the bananas, why the bananas are on our t-shirts. We got the bananas here. And run out to the stores now and stock up on bananas because I see them flying off the shelves in the next day or so. So seriously, I mean, that's just, we're so used to it, but it is just nuts that someone thinks it's perfectly normal to just to say something like that.
To his credit, he has not deleted it. The thread is still there. I took screenshots because I thought for sure. Maybe he'd feel some shame later or something, but he's owned it. So
yeah. And so to be clear, this is not a friend of yours. This was somebody who commented.
A friend of mine. Yeah. A friend of mine shared my post.
Yeah.
And then I was just, you know, we were just going back and forth. And I try to conduct myself online as I would in real life. I feel like that's really important. And kindness is a big thing for me. Not being afraid to speak the truth or to say hard things, but to do so in a compassionate way. And so, you know, I did get slightly snarky. Like I laughed when he said that because I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Next year. But I try to, you know, keep things really civil And, you know, I kind of recap for people. I'm like, just like, let's look at how he's reacted versus how I've reacted. Cause you know, there's always the lurkers. There's the people reading.
Yeah.
And so that's how I try to conduct myself. And I think it's really important because a lot of people talk about the internet, like it's not the real world. Like we talk about the real world and then the internet. Well, the internet is the real world and it does have repercussions. So I like to say in the flesh, mm-hmm. some 3D mm-hmm. world. But I think it's really important that people start appreciating how powerful their words are and their intentions and how you treat people. And I think that's like you and I have talked a lot about, I think you said it last year, using social media, not letting it use you or the internet. And I think it's so important for us to become more intentional. That's why more and more people are wanting to unplug more and more. But it is a positive tool too. It's like always that tension of the good and like getting the good out of something as a tool and using it for good. But also, like you said, not letting it use you, not letting it control you. So,
right. Or not letting it also sort of dictate how you behave and how you interact with people. I really feel like that's one of the biggest issues facing all of us now and in the near future is like, you know, we can either be intentional about how we use technology or we can just, you know, humanity can become plugged into the matrix and that's it, we're done. Right. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, we can sort of, I want to let people know I've posted details of Susan's Still Alive Day and there are instructions to follow. It's not a free for all. You got to do it right. You got to like get your bananas, do the pancakes, gotta have the right music, everything. Right. But all those instructions are on my blog. They're on my Substack. So I'll link to that here just so everybody, you don't want to do it wrong.
In the spirit of unschooling, I don't think there's a wrong. Like, you know, I said last year, you can have banana bread or, you know, banana French toast or something, you know, mostly the only thing you could do wrong is be mean to someone on the internet, like be a real jerk, be a real, you know what, that is the main rule that we do not want.
But bananas, just to be clear, do bananas have to be involved?
I mean, bananas are pretty key. They're pretty crucial.
Yeah.
But you know,
bananas and kindness.
Yes. That's, What a recipe.
Okay. So I'll mention that again. I'll link to that in the show notes just so everybody can get on board and do this. Sorry, there are only two shirts. We don't have a whole bunch of shirts to give everybody, but let's talk a little bit about Rise Up with Susan May and what that is, what it's become, where you are with it now. Cause I know you've gone through a lot this last year, especially, you've had a lot going on.
Yeah. So I'm definitely like a little bit in flux right now as far as the direction I've been going in with Rise Up with Susan May. In 2021, in July 4th, I founded this community, the Rise Up community, and it was to support medical freedom advocates. And we had a blast for almost 2 years. It was, I just ended up closing the community down this past spring. And it was really for personal reasons. My son, most people know, is autistic, and he's non-speaking. And so I've really been diving deep, and Brittany, this is near and dear to her heart also, into this method called Spell to Communicate or the Spellers method. And so I got really, really intense involved with that. Around the new year, I had to choose a word, and the word that I chose was focus. I was still heavily involved. I just finished a business course that I invested a ton of money in. So I wasn't thinking that this was the course I was going to take. And for me, this speaks to, I'm a big believer in following your intuition and following the path that kind of opens up before you. And it always serves me. And so I didn't intend to like slow things down or pull back, but it was really obvious I needed to put my focus on my son a lot. He needed to be potty trained. He's seven. And that has been like a whole story, that, you know, he's made so much progress, but we had to like pour time and energy into that. And then I really dove headfirst into this, spelling. And as many people also know, my dad has had cancer, which was originally diagnosed in 2020, and year was like really rough, and he ended up passing this summer. So it just, oh, and then we moved. We moved from Florida to Tennessee. So we had a lot going on. And it just became very obvious to me that I needed to walk the walk. Part of my mission with Rise Up with Susan May is helping people embrace, like, what is your life and how do you kind of make it the most amazing life that possible, you know? And as medical freedom advocates, how do we balance this this crazy world that feels at odds with us so much of the time? And but still not living in fear. Like Brittany and I talk about this all the time, living from a place of love, because we want to be the example to the world. Like if we want things to change in that direction, we have to do that. So I know I'm talking a lot, but basically I just followed my gut and I was like, I need to shift my focus. I shut down that community. It's Rise Up with Susan May still exists. I haven't really been pouring an energy into it, recently. But with my dad passing, I have kind of put a little, message out into the world via Facebook, like that I have plans to write a book about that experience. And I've gotten so much positive feedback from people about that. And so my focus for this fall is to really, write. I want to write. And I want to get back eventually to coaching some kind of community. And I'm always open to coaching people as long as I have the time and, slots available, which I do, because I have not been putting myself out there. So yeah, it's like, it's fun, you know, it's, our family's getting settled in Tennessee and we're just living life.
That's pretty awesome. And it's also upheaval too. I mean, I know that we moved, it's been a year and a half now. So we moved from California to Kentucky. So we're neighbors now. So we moved. I'm also going through stuff with our daughter. We started doing Spellers this summer and we have been doing it with her. We're also dealing with, without going into too much sort of medical detail, she had a really bad year with seizures in 2021 before we moved. And so we've been dealing with like trying to get her off of some of the medications that she was on that's the most important thing in my life. And it's a little crazy making or nerve wracking to like to have all these ideas and all these things that you want to do, or maybe even things that you've gotten started with, but it's like real life is pounding on your door saying, no, you've actually got to do this right now. Yeah. And it's tough. It's, how do you deal with having all these ideas and inspiration like rattling around in your head?
Yeah. I mean, that right there, you just nailed it. I haven't figured it out. Let's just say that. I think the more focused I get and the calmer I get, the better it gets, the more that helps. But it doesn't go away, especially when you feel really like on fire for something and you get like all these creative ideas, which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that per se, but the frustration comes in when you feel like, well, which direction should I go in? Or I'm like doing a little bit here, a little bit there and not making progress in any one area.
Right.
And I think I'm getting really, really close to a breakthrough here. Because I have this word focus in my mind since January, it's just become so obvious to me that I have to focus on my kids. My daughter is 17 years old and I don't have much more time where before she's like officially an adult. Now I don't buy into like the 18 years old, like they're out, any of that kind of mainstream thinking, but that doesn't mean that there's not some truth in that. You know, the truth is that she is growing up in front of my eyes, you know, and my 14 year old son, it's not going to be much longer till he's there too. You know, I've seen how quickly and between my dad dying and my kids being teens, it's just becomes painfully obvious that I just need to get super focused on them. And especially since we moved, I got to be on top of things. And so that's what I've been doing. So I don't have an answer really. I think Lately, I've had the past few days, I've had this idea in my head of a GPS. You know, GPS is global positioning system. And like, you know, most humans are always looking for purpose, right? We're always looking, why are we here? Like, that's the big, like, existential question. Like, why are we here? And why is there good and evil? And do I believe in this and that? And so I've just been thinking GPS, I'm thinking gratitude, because gratitude is absolutely transformative. And it's changed my life so many times when I can get really focused on it, and daily, just daily, even if it's before I put my head down on the pillow and I'm like, man, I'm grateful for this pillow. You know, I'm grateful for this bed. And then from there, you just get rolling and you just realize how many blessings there are in your life, especially like in America, you know, like, you know, with, you know, the joke is like, right, first world problems, because
my favorite kind.
We have food. We have a roof over our head. Like, there's so many things. We have so many things so easy, you know? So gratitude's the first part. And then presence. Like, this is something. Mm-hmm. Presence for me is not easy. I am an intellect. I'm in my head.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I love to read. You know, especially being with my son, that he's special needs, that he's autistic. It has over the years become a habit that, like, I'm on my phone, you know, like reading and learning, especially 2020, 2021, I was watching things constantly. And thankfully, he's not putting up with that anymore. You know, he's to an age where he's like pushing the phone away and he's like, look at me, mom, like, pay attention to me. He can't say it with words, but he can tell me.
Yeah.
And so presence and like gratitude really helps you with presence, because it like grounds you. You're like, it can kind of get you there, you know? And then the S, I was having a hard time with the S word. And then it came to me. I'm like, service. Like, I've just seen over and over again in my life, when I'm feeling down in the dumps and sorry for myself, if I go out and do something for someone else, it automatically lifts me up. Like, whether it's calling like my 94-year-old ex neighbor that lives in Virginia, like, that's been like a relationship that I've cultivated, because this woman doesn't have anyone, you know, she doesn't have family. She doesn't have children. She,
wow.
Like, just sending her pictures, just little things like that, you know, so little. Another little example from this week for us is we're having a fence put in our backyard to keep Carter safe, you know?
Nice.
And they came Friday, the people we hired. And by the end of the day, I was like best friends with a few of these guys, you know, they're like, you know, they're workers, but like, and you wonder, they come up to this big house, this big, nice house. They're probably wondering like, oh, what are these people going to be like, you know? And like, I introduced Carter to them. I said, this is Carter. He's non-speaking, but he can understand everything you say. What do you know? One of the guys has a child who's completely disabled, can't speak, wow, walk. So I start telling him about spellers, you know. Another guy is like, oh, we're from New York. Where from New York are you? And I'm like, oh, Rochester. And he's like, I grew up in Manhattan. Turns out he's like, I moved here 3 years ago. I said, oh, you moved in 2020, didn't you? And so there's that little, we didn't get into it, but you know.
Yeah, no, we've had that encounter too. It's interesting. I bet that happens. You almost want to have a name for it, because it's like
the 2020 move.
Yeah. I mean, we meet people, we had a business interaction with someone recently who, as we're talking about the transaction, it becomes clear, you know, she says, you know, she moved out here too. And it's like, when did you move? It's like 2020. And we're like, oh, okay.
2021. That's when we moved.
Yeah. Early. Yeah. And it's like, once you kind of, so you don't want to like say too much, but there's kind of this acknowledgement of like, all right, you're okay. Yeah. You're one of us. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, just all of them were just so kind. Like, once they saw me and Carter out there like all day long, and the one of them mentioned like, oh, he keeps you busy. And so like, I thought to myself, you know what, I want to give these guys a thank you card or something, because they started being like, oh, you should like make sure about this, because they know it's to keep him safe, you know, cause I've said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to make this happen. I'm just going to print out a few wallets of Carter, like of him on the swing, you know, where they saw him swinging, and just do one thank you card, just like expressing gratitude for them doing a good job. Like, they're making a beautiful fence for our yard, and it's important work. They're keeping my son safe and giving sanity to my family, you know? And I got to thinking about it. I'm like, how often do you think a fence company receives like a thank you card for their work? You know, it'll probably make their day. And it just gets you thinking of like, these little things that you can do, you know, that really do make a difference.
They really matter. And I think especially in these times, because, you know, people talk about the fabric of society, and it's a real thing. And it's been under assault for years now. You know, it's not just the last 3 years, but it's really been our connectedness to each other has been under assault. And so I feel like anytime I can do something like that, you know, we had these wonderful guys move when we finally found our house that we bought here. We had this wonderful team of guys who moved us. And I mean, they were fantastic. And their attitude was so different from what you would have found in California. I find there's a real cultural difference. And one of the guys mentioned that he was, you know, he was getting married on New Year's Eve. And so I remember that. And I sent him on New Year's Eve, I sent him a text saying, congratulations. Yay. And he was like, he was so thrilled. He was like, oh my God, you just made our night. It's like those little things like that. I feel like now they matter even more than they ever did, because that fabric has been so, it's been through war. Yeah. And anything we can do to build up, even just the little threads, you know, just build those up, because it really is important.
Like sending never met in person. You've never met your friend.
I keep forgetting we've never met in person. I keep forgetting that.
Well, I know. It doesn't feel like that. And no. I had a full belly laugh. You know, like those moments of joy, they matter. They pick someone up and then like more joyful with my family, you know, like, and I absolutely agree with you that like that connectedness, I have longed for this like sense of community since being a mother of young children. You talk to mothers of young children, that's another something so dear to my heart. Like mothers of young children are basically abandoned in our society. That's my, like, they are just left to survive. And everyone pretty much just says, well, it's what you got to do and it will get better. Okay. Well, that's true. It will get better.
But does it have to be like this?
Yeah. It's terrible. And so I agree with you. Like the fact that like in most suburbs or anywhere, I mean, in the country, neighbors don't know each other anymore. Like you don't, you know. And so for me, it's ironic because we moved our family around so much. So we haven't been able to build up this community. But like, that's like my focus. I'm like, I want us to have community. We don't have family here. So I have to make that family, you know, I have to build up, and you have to put the time in, you have to push your comfort zone. You have to be willing to go out and you have to be willing to meet people that maybe you won't vibe with, you know, like, cause you don't know until you try.
Right. That's one thing. Right. And it's, and I'm very much an introvert. And so it's like, it's so against my nature to do that. I also realize it is really important. And we made a real effort when we were living in California, we made a real effort to get to know our neighbors. And I feel like we did have a community. We built up a little community there. And we're sort of trying to do the same thing here.
Yeah.
I feel like there's maybe more of an awareness or an expectation here than in Southern California. But even so, it's not, you know, you do have to make the effort. You have to like,
people are busy, you know, that's the modern way. People are busy. It's easy. It's so easy to get caught up in your life. And especially you have kids that are in activities and just take them to the activities. But you know, when you need the community is when like the illness hits or when like a family member's dying. And then that's when you feel, or when you're moving and then you feel it, man, I don't have that. I don't have that. And so I appreciate, like, I know it's really hard. And one thing I've given myself permission over the years, because I felt this a lot as a homeschooler too, right? Like, you don't have that automatic school community. That there were times when it was just, you would get exhausted. And I've heard many homeschoolers say this, like, you feel like you're trying and trying and things don't pan out for even like you meet someone and you think it went really well. And then for whatever reason, it falls apart. Maybe that person's just not good at like keeping a commitment, or like you just don't see each other anymore. And you have to give yourself permission to just stop for a while sometimes and just kind of let it rest, you know? And that doesn't mean you're giving up. Like it's a shift in mentality to be like, okay, anything really that's important to you, right? I'm going to rest. But that doesn't mean I'm quitting, you know, that with time I'll have energy again. So, you know, we basically landed here. My dad died July 3rd and then we came. So we got mid-July, we get back here and I just start like in the last month, I have set up so many things. So I figured out how to get her dual enrolled and she's
nice.
Tomorrow. She's starting two classes at the community college.
Nice.
It's the first time, you know, she's done co-op and like done some things.
Yeah, we did that.
But this is her first real like pretty real school experience. So
nice. Oh, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, I'm excited.
That'll be fun. Yeah. 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 But yeah, it's kind of, to me, it's related to the whole issue of focus that you need to, rather than getting attached to a particular solution, mm-hmm. that it's so important to keep in mind, well, what's the real purpose of what we're doing here? What are we
Absolutely.
Really aiming for?
Absolutely.
And, yeah. And that can be tough. That can just, yeah.
To let go of like what you thought.
Yeah. Well, especially when you've put a lot of work into it, like when you've really invested something in, either in a method or in a community. You know, we were involved in a wonderful homeschooling community here, a Christian group, just wonderful, wonderful people, really good, high quality education, you know, classes,
yep.
But it just socially, it just wasn't enough. And so we had, it's tough. It's hard when, you know, you've made connections and you yep. have a community and then it's like, it's just not really the right thing.
Yeah.
We were talking before we got on, this whole question of focus. I feel like it's important on multiple levels, but one of the levels that I think I feel like when, you know, we talk about this sort of war that's being waged on humanity, and we often talk about like a spiritual war, mm-hmm. To me, it's becoming more and more clear that when we give that the war part of it, or the darkness, when we give it our attention, we're making it stronger.
Yep.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm very much in alignment with you on this. And something that you and I have discussed is, I think there's a lot of discomfort for people that are either activists. I wouldn't have considered myself really an activist. Like, I wasn't the kind of person that like went to like protests or like went, you know, to the meetings or things like that. But I was a researcher, you know, and I'm a sharer. And I was kind of like pushing my comfort zone by not staying silent, you know, by being yeah. vocal, both on my blog and like on social media. And I think it's very uncomfortable for many of us, whether you're an activist or you're a researcher, to feel like you're ignoring things. People feel like that's irresponsible. That was actually a big theme for me with Rise Up with Susan May. A lot of the message that I was trying to share with people is we've been conditioned, right? I'm sure you agree with this. Like, there's, you know, propaganda, there's media coming in, there's things in our society that we just grow up with and we take for granted. And one of those things that I think a lot of people have absorbed is that it's irresponsible to be uninformed. So mm-hmm. you know, the flip side of that is that the responsible thing to do is to be informed. Okay, well, there's a problem. And we may have even discussed this last year. I feel like I'm having a little deja vu here.
Yeah.
Because how, like, when are you fully informed, right? Like, at what point in time, it's like the being fully, I'm trying not to say the word, it's like being fully, right? When right. are you fully informed? Will it be when you dedicate 1 hour to news a day, 2 hours of news a day? Do you need to spend all your waking hours, like, being informed? Because guess what? There's 7 billion people on the planet. I'm sure that's up for debate too, but, you know, people are going to be constantly making news. So I absolutely, I'm going to be a little bit on a couple of tangents here. I agree with you on this idea of like there's a spiritual aspect to it. And I love the idea of what you're saying of not focusing on that word of war, but I think people are being called back to like more of a faith-based perspective on how they want to view their life, how they want to view the world. And it's just so important to embrace that, because you're not going to be fully informed. There's no way to do it. Okay. So that I locked my train of thought a little bit. So my family, we've started to go to church again. It was kind of something I said to the kids when we move, which I've been thinking about how arbitrary that is. Like, why didn't I do it before we moved? Why was it when we moved? Well, it's because we had our routines and our rituals established in the place where we were, and we had so much going on and to do. And I knew when we got here, it was like a reset button. And I knew it would be something good for us to get out in the community and to meet people. Well, it turns out the timing is perfect because my daughter is really expressing a desire to like reconnect with that aspect. And doubts. She has doubts. And my son is like lapping it up. He's 14. And who knew? Like, you know, when we were taking him when he was 4 and 5, and it was like, oh my gosh, the church, it's a nightmare, you know. And now it's like a joy. I'm like, oh, I can just go and we can just sit in this and we can absorb it and then we can talk about it afterwards. So I'm like totally on a tangent here, Brittany, and I don't know where I'm going with it, but
faith and focus.
Faith and focus. And my daughter just said the most beautiful thing the other day. She said, people are always looking for someone who's like them instead of someone who loves them. And I feel like the division in the world is because everyone's putting ourselves in these boxes of like, you know, these are the good people. These are the bad people. I got to be in this box and not that box. And it's like, we're never all going to be in one box, you know, like there's always going to be differences.
Or it'll be a very small box if we.
Right. But what the things that bind us together that are the same are these things, this need for like goodness in our life, for purpose, for faith. And to get back to that point, I'm coming back to it, I swear, about like, you know, where we put our focus and like being informed. I just think there's a lot of people that feel like if they stop knowing what's going on in the world, then like, how can they fight it if they don't know?
Right. Right.
And I think that there's just like a really, really profound shift to getting more focused. I was listening. So one of the things we started to do is to listen on this app for like prayer. And like, there's this priest and he was talking about circles, spheres of interest versus spheres of influence. And the interest thing is what he was saying is like, you know, when you see an article or a video and you click on it and you know you're going to be outreached, right? You know, he was talking about, he actually used the word keyboard warriors. And like this, it's a cycle, it feeds. And I have felt this in myself. I felt it in 2020 and 2021. I needed to know, like it was obsessive. Like I had to feed that itch constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to change that habit. It's literally a detox. You literally have to, and like sometimes you have to like just set limits on yourself and go slow. But what you'll find is that the more you feel calm, you actually enjoy feeling calm. But it's not right away. You kind of have to detox. And so that fear of interest with for what he was saying is like the like being informed, like whatever events, we're not going to talk about specific events, but everyone knows the things that are on the news that everyone's getting worked up about. But your sphere of influence is your family. It's your family. It's your community. It's, you know, it's taking that whatever the big politics are to the grassroots. It's like where you actually have an impact. And if you don't like that word impact, influence is a great word.
Yeah.
And so the more you do it, it just becomes like, everyone knows it, right? Like at the end of your life, everyone says, well, what are you going to care about? Are you going to care about how many hours you worked? Are you going to care about, you know, even this kind of activism stuff? I'll never forget reading this book that this guy, it was for racism and things like that. I can't remember. I feel like his name was like White or something, his last name. And he actually in his like dedication said something about how I hope my children can forgive me if I've spent too much time like on this issue. And that just stuck with me because I'm like, if you're saying that, you must have spent too much time on it. I'm sorry. Like that, you shouldn't have a doubt. If your children are more important than that issue, then spend more time on your children. It's really very simple, but we make it so complicated, you know, and it is, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy. Simple doesn't mean, you know, easy. It's hard for us to change our habits. It's hard for us, like you said, to get focused. Like what's the
Well, and there's thing? Also the issue, you know, we were talking about having all these ideas in our heads. You know, I think we're both creative people and we both have these things that we want to do and put out into the world. And so it's like, well, yeah, I'm not going to just abandon that and not do any of that. But it's frustrating because it's, you know, how do you, I think as a parent, you're always going to feel like, you know, I should be spending more time with them. And especially, as you said, you know, parents of teens, it's like, they're growing up so fast. It's like, now is the time to, like, everything else does sort of take the back seat. But at the same time, it's like, it's not like those other things aren't important. I guess
Some of those things you feel are important for helping create that future for your children too. Like, I know that's a big focus for
you. That's true.
And as an activist, for someone who's like really like worried about the direction the world's going in, they feel like, you know, I'm trying to get the world in a better direction, right?
But so my kids can have a safe place to live.
It comes from a good place, you know? Like, that was one of my favorite anonymous things, where it was like, I'm going to butcher it probably, but it's like, you know, when I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I realized I couldn't change the world. So I tried to change my country. I realized I couldn't change the country. So I tried to change, you know, and it goes down, you know, country, mm-hmm. you know, then state, then city, then town, then, you know, then my family. And then I realized all I could do was change myself, you know, and it's simple.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to do. And it's literally, it's not like a one-time thing and then you're done either. Like, I think it's a path that you walk and then you walk it again and you get better at it. You know, you become more peaceful, you become calmer. And like, that is a gift that for myself, I have felt more and more and more the past 3 years. You know, I recently was thinking about 2020. I was like, wow, you know, there were a lot of, like, I'm really grateful for a lot of this stuff. And it's like, and I meant it finally, you know, but it took time to get there. It took a long time to get there. I mean, I have my days still where I'm just like hyper and I'm like, I just want to do this and that and this and that. And it is frustrating when you want to do something and you feel like, you know, maybe your kid's pulling on you and you're like, but I want to do this other thing. But then you realize, wait, my kid's the most important thing, right? There is constant tension. And so I think the more you can just start almost meditating on it daily, like, well, what's the most important
thing? Yeah.
I think I've become better at being like, this is a whole nother topic, but I think it's harder for women that are mostly the caregivers for their children to, quote, be disciplined. If you ever notice, like, some of my favorite role models, like, you know, they talk about Thomas Jefferson getting up and he wrote for an hour and then he ate breakfast and then he went on a walk and then he ate lunch and then he
and then what kind of world is that?
Right. And then he played his instruments, you know, or maybe that was Mozart. I don't know. But right. then, you know, and I'm like, I've always admired that. I thought that was so wonderful. And I realized, like, where are all the mothers doing this? And I'm like, wait, I don't think it is a mother.
You know where they are.
Mothers are running around changing the diapers and I absolutely do believe that multitasking is not the best thing for productivity, efficiency, or
even I don't think there's such a thing, really. I don't think you can.
Right.
Really.
But I think it's both. Like, there's times for multitasking and then there's times when, like, it is absolutely better if you can just, like, put everything.
Right. Down. Some things require focus and other things, if it's just a menial thing, then yeah. But yeah. then, but to like multitask with something that actually requires focus.
Yeah. No. It's a lost cause. But I mean, I think it's just something that you work on. And like, so I, like, for me right now, to use myself as an example, I'm coming to this point where I have a schedule pretty much set up for my kids for the fall. That's, you know, starting, like, it's kind of been gradually coming in. Like, Marisol's been going to the gym. Now she's going to be going, and Carter started therapy. And both big kids are going to youth group. So, like, we have, like, this weekly schedule that looks, it's the most, like, quote, normal thing we've had probably since 2020. Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, my focus is going to be, I'm going to write. Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And if I can get up like 2 to 3 mornings a week and just write for an hour or two, and then I can be focused on them, you know, for the rest of the day, not be feeling like, oh, I want to do this or that. I think the big thing is that most of us really need to cut way back. I mean, it's really that simple. Like, we need to just cut. Like, I loved when you told me, oh, I'm doing this project now, and then I'm going to write. like, that was just so great for me to hear, because I was like, oh, like, you know, just because I'm doing writing now, that doesn't mean I can't do the next project, you know, in 2024 or like next summer, you know? Yeah. And I think that that's just so helpful for people to see.
I think also there's a lot to be said for, really, I hate the term time management, but, you know, I've gotten to this point in my life and I still fool myself about how much time there is in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I still don't really grasp how short the day is. And I think there's real value in, like, just making a commitment to, I mean, I remember I had a crazy, crazy job once. Like, I looked at it afterwards, and on average, it was like 16 hours a day. Okay. And during that time, though, I made a commitment to myself that I was going to do the Natalie Goldberg writing exercises, which the minimum time, I think she says it, but what I set myself was 10 minutes a day. Okay. And I always ended up doing it right before bed, but I did that. And I actually ended up, and this was crazy. This was, I don't know if you can say it is, it's as crazy as having kids, because when you have kids, it's not predictable. You know, you don't know, and it's so much more out of your control, but it was still crazy. And I just held myself to this 10 minutes a day. That's all it is. Just 10 minutes a day. And I ended up writing a book out of that. So I know that for me anyway, a lot of it is just getting a grasp on time, getting like a real realistic picture of time, and then committing to something tiny, you know, something really small. Absolutely. and I can do something out of that. And the other thing that I think I've gotten a lot better about this lately, but I feel like, you know, as the darker the world seems to be, and the more crazy stuff gets, you know, pops up in the news, I feel like it's more important to ignore it. It's like, that's, it's a drug. It's that, the doom scrolling, the, you know, ooh, you know, look what happened here, and we've got to get to the bottom of it. I don't need to get to the bottom of it anymore. I feel like I kind of know what's going on here, you know, enough to know, you know, what I'm going to do about it. And for the most part, I don't need to go in depth on, I don't need to go down a whole bunch of rabbit holes, maybe not even any rabbit holes. And I feel like that's, again, getting back to the spiritual thing of it, that the evil or the darkness or whatever you want to call it, it gets stronger the more attention we put on it, and we get weaker, because even just in terms of time, because our most precious resource is our time, and every minute that we spend, you know, trying to figure out what's really going on with the Ukraine pipeline and or Maui or whatever important things, really important things, but is it important for me? Mm-hmm. Given what I've got going on and what I want to accomplish, how important is it for me to dig into that?
You just nailed something, Brittany, that I think is super important and will help people, because you said, okay, so the first premise is like, when we pay attention, it makes them stronger. Some people might not believe that. They might not be there yet. But when you said it weakens us, no one can argue with that. When you're putting your time and energy into that, you're taking time and energy away from what you really need to be doing immediate in your life. Yeah. And that's so crucial. Like, and it's sapping your energy. It's sapping, you know,
puts you on a different frequency.
Oh, for sure. And then you don't have the energy. Like, if you're depressed and like feeling anxious, how much positive action are you going to take in a day? You know? So that is like key. It's so key to appreciate that. And I think another thing that might be triggering people is when you say, like, how important is that to me? Mm-hmm. Like, people will feel that that's selfish or something, but it's not, because what's important to you is Ariel, your daughter, getting our kids able to communicate, hopefully someday. That is what's important to our family. Like, and we will live in chaos as long as like our kids are so frustrated. And so, you know, like, so people really need to get clear. You got to get super clear on what's important in your life. Get focused on that. And like you said, I think you get to a certain point where you've dug down, you know, like that's what it was for me. 2020 and 2021, there were things that I did not understand about the world that you were ahead of me on that. We've talked about this too. So I would say another thing that's important for people, don't feel guilty about time you've spent. Like I look at that time and I'm like, I had to do that.
Yeah.
I need it because whatever path I was on, I needed to do that. If the obsessiveness wasn't a clue, right? Like it was a real need. And I learned and it changed my worldview. And there are things that I understand now that I did not understand before. I wasn't an adult in like my view of how the world worked, you know? And once you get there, and I'm not saying you don't ever need to know anything again, like that's ridiculous, but you don't need to that doesn't have to be what you do with your days, you know? I think that's really, really important.
Yeah. Yeah. And there really is so much, I mean, even just from a business standpoint, you know, there's a huge industry out there battling for your attention, you know, trying to suck your attention away.
Noticed.
Yeah. I mean, you know, my husband used to work for one of them. You know, that's how they make money. They make money by getting your eyeballs on their, whatever it is they're producing. And so,
right.
You know, it's not benign. It's not just, you know, the world out there. No, there's a concerted effort to draw your attention away from everything else. And from, you know, you talk about the spheres of influence, from your spheres of influence, from where, you know, you're really engaged in your real life to this other stuff. And, you know, I know everyone's aware of that, I guess, but.
I would say too, like, to put some perspective on like media or social media, it's not necessarily that it's evil. It's like, that's how it works. Like, for them to make money, like everyone's trying to get by in the world, right? Everyone's trying to support their families. Like we feed that. We're the ones as the consumer, we're feeding it and we're telling them what we will click on, what we will, and how they will make their next dollar. Mm-hmm. So, of course there are other forces that are, you know, malevolent or whatever, but a lot of it is just, that's what makes the money, you know? So,
yeah,
but we have to be conscious of it and make the choices,
Right. And I do think that consciousness and that intentionality about where we put our focus, I think that's like one of the biggest, if not the biggest challenges, for humanity going forward. It's like, if we can't be intentional about where we put our attention, then it's kind of like we're not even here. You know, it's just, it's not good. It's not good.
Absolutely.
You were talking earlier about faith, and I feel like some level of, you know, whatever your beliefs are, some level of faith is involved too, because that's, I think when you feel like, oh, I have to grab for this information. There's all this information out there. I've got to know what this is. I've got to know. It's like, that's coming from a place of what I'm doing isn't enough. Like lack, like a fear mm-hmm. of I can't survive or get by or whatever it is. I need this thing that's outside of me. I need this information. I've got to do it. Or I have to. And that's sort of the opposite of faith. And whatever faith means to you, but like having some faith that what you're doing and the path you're on is right. And it's going to take you somewhere good.
Yeah. The word that's popping up for me, in addition to faith, is trusting. Mm-hmm. And those are, absolutely both more, I think, in our gut, like in our intuition, like, and we're such a cerebral society. Like, we're all about like science and the facts. And, yeah. That has been a huge theme for me too, with Rise Up with Susan May, is really trying to point people to that, to start trusting themselves again, which is difficult to do when you have been trained to not trust your instincts or your intuition. Right. Right. It's something that you have to practice over time. And I think faith to me is like also recognizing what's actually in your control, what's not out in your control, which is a lot. There's a lot of things not in our control, mm-hmm. and accepting that. And, you know, at the end of the day, again, it's really more about being in control of yourself, like what your thoughts are, what your choices are every day. It's not like, super sexy, you know, like, oh, I'm going to change this habit. I'm going to have, like you said, like writing 10 minutes a day. A lot of people have a hard time committing to that and then following up on it. Yeah. But that is the stuff that changes your life. You know, mm-hmm. that's stuff mm-hmm. that, at the end of the day,
it doesn't seem dramatic in the moment at all.
No. Yeah. So yeah. This is good stuff. It's good stuff. And I think the thing is that the most people know it. But it's a matter of finding the people and the communities that will support you in doing those things, and like finding mm-hmm. your own, whatever your own motivation is. Like, for example, me putting on Facebook that I'm going to write a book. If I hadn't put it on Facebook, it might be gone already, to be honest, mm-hmm. because there's so much else going on. But now I've said it, and now I've gotten positive feedback, and now it's in my head.
Now it's a real thing.
And yeah, and now I'm like, well, I said I was, and I'm a big person. Like, when I say I'm going to do something, I'm like, okay, I said I was going to do it. And so that one little thing of you like telling someone, like, I'm going to do this thing, what, you know, it doesn't have to be public, like Facebook. It could be your spouse or your parent or your kid. Yeah. There's little things that you can do, you know, that build on each other, to just make life a whole lot, just happier and healthier. And I think getting back to that selfish idea, each of us taking care of ourselves and being really strong is not selfish. That's what's best for your sphere of influence. That's what's best for your family. And so there's just like a lot of things that need to be shifted, like in people's mental state, you know?
Yeah. Any advice or thoughts for people getting ready to celebrate Susan Still Alive Day?
I posted actually on my page, like the nitty gritty, you know, we got the date. It's August 22nd.
Yep. August 22nd.
So it's Tuesday. And yeah, we got the food. The food is the banana pancakes and the potatoes.
Banana bread is also okay.
Banana bread's okay. Staying Alive is the song. Staying Alive. And the Croods grandma is the mascot, because if anyone's ever watched the Croods, the great children's movie, she keeps popping up. Still Alive.
I didn't know about this until yeah. Susan Still Alive Day last
and
year.
And her son-in-law is the one that's like, every time the son-in-law wants her to die. So I guess he's my friend on the internet there. Well, it has a happy ending. By the end, the son-in-law and the grandma are like closer, but she's the mascot. So yeah, like, you know, do something nice for someone, basically, you know, connect with your kids, go on a walk, disconnect from media. You know, do something that makes you feel good and makes someone else feel good too. It's not complicated. It's easy. So
any words for, what's his name? Is it Fred? The guy who sparked all of this?
His name was Pox, like peace.
Oh, how funny. Okay.
Yeah. You know, I purposely last year, actually, I spoke with you. I was like, do you think I should? Because, like, you know, in the original thread, I was like, we'll be back here next year, you know? It's Paxus, P-A-X-U-S, but that's still a piece. That's peace, right?
Okay.
And I didn't go back to the thread and like tag him and say, hey, I'm still alive. It just felt like the antithesis of the spirit. Of
right. It's not the right
alive day to be. I want it to be lighthearted and fun. I don't want it to be mean, mean spirited. I said on the original thread that I wish him well. And he basically was like, we're enemies. I'm like, oh. that's not my mentality. I don't think we're enemies. I think we're two human beings doing our best, you know, in a confusing world. And so, yeah, I still wish him well. I don't plan to reach out because I don't wish to make him feel badly. You know, I'm always curious. Do people still think this way? But you know, that's their path. I really have a very, like, as getting back to that spiritual, the faith, I think we're all on our path. And I think, all of us trying to like be the strongest light we can be to those around us is like the best thing we can do. So that's my goal.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you so much for being on the show. I'm going to, so Susan Still Alive Day is Tuesday, August 22nd. I'm going to get this up probably on Monday, the 21st, tomorrow. So, so it's tomorrow. Get your bananas, get your music going, and happy Susan Still Alive Day. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Brittany. I really enjoyed it.
Yep. You've been listening to What Then Must We Do, the podcast for those who understand that the state is the problem and are seeking solutions. For more episodes, go to brettney.substack.com. That's brettigne.substack.com and subscribe.